Chapter 11. Freya was hanging up the phone when we walked in. All three large buttons indicating held calls had all lit up on the base. She shrugged and shook her head.
It's non-stop. Everyone wants to cancel, which means I have to contact every vendor they have booked for their entire vacation. They all want refunds. I have to keep explaining that I can't refund my fee, that I can only refund deposits from the activities vendors and the airlines. They just won't listen.
Sophie walked over and started rubbing Freya's shoulders.
Don't you worry. We've got this.
How?
Freya asked, spinning around to look at her.
What are the reasons they are giving for canceling?
Sophie asked her.
To sum it up, they are worried they will be infected and die,
Freya answered, imitating the killers as idiots.
Well, Veda just came up with a solution for those fears at the town meeting,
Sophie informed her. We took a few minutes to fill Freya in on Veda's brilliant idea of marketing the tragedy and assuring people, logically, that there wasn't any danger. Freya sat back in her chair and put her hands behind her head.
That just may work, she mused. After all, look at the haunted town and haunted house industry.
That was Veda's point exactly, I replied. I'm truly trying not to feel completely scummy profiting off those passengers' deaths, but this island will die without tourism.
There's no danger, so I don't see the problem,
Sophie tossed in.
Besides, I know it's a long shot, but you never know when one of those tourists may know something we don't. Or perhaps they've seen something similar elsewhere.
You're saying we could actually use the tourists to look for answers?
Veda piped up, finally looking up from the tablet she hadn't put down the whole trip over and into the travel agency.
Absolutely,
Sophie answered.
Why not?
I crossed my arms and smiled. I couldn't possibly ask for a better group of brilliant, gorgeous women to have in my life, and reveled in the realization of that for a moment. Freya pointed to two empty desks.
All right, then let's get on it. Veda, Steven, you can help me take incoming calls and convince them to keep their bookings. Sophie, can you call the people who have canceled and try to convince them to rebook? I haven't time to actually cancel their trips yet, so we won't have to do the legwork twice.
Sounds good,
Sophie replied, grabbing a piece of paper Freya held out to her. As I took my seat at my assigned desk, it surprised me that Veda didn't show any disdain for having to talk to more people, but I think she was looking at it as a research opportunity. I wouldn't have been surprised if she didn't start noting every person's reaction who called in. We fielded calls for 4 hours straight. Realizing that the process would never allow for a break, Freya came up with a brilliant idea to record a message stating Veda's logic and urging people to keep their bookings. Anyone who still wanted to speak with someone could leave a message, and we would have Sophie call them back. Between the four of us and Freya's assistant, we saved at least 150 accounts. We ordered subs for lunch, and Freya set the phones to go to voicemail the moment they arrived. Right behind the delivery driver, when he walked through the door, was Delaney.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry I couldn't get here sooner.
Where have you been?
Sophie asked as she paid the driver.
I had to do a virtual chapter meeting to answer questions about what happened yesterday. Those things take forever. Plus, since our normal meeting was scheduled for 2 days from now, they decided to take care of everything at once,
Delaney explained as she pulled a chair out of the waiting area and sat near my desk.
Good news is, I'm clear for the next month.
Veda opened her sandwich and pulled out a pickle that had been tucked inside. She held it out to Delaney.
Want a pickle? We didn't know you were coming, so we didn't order you a sandwich.
Veda took the pickle and smiled her thanks.
So, you all look a little ragged, no offense. How's it going?
Freya set her sandwich on her desk.
We are saving more bookings than we are losing, so that's nice. We have a lot to fill you in on otherwise, though.
Oh yeah? Anything good?
She asked, taking a bite of her pickle. My mouth was full of the pastrami sandwich I'd ordered, so I looked to Veda.
Let's use the word interesting instead of fun, shall we?
We took turns filling Delaney in on the events of the day as we ate. She applauded Veda for both her performance at the town meeting and her theory of the passengers dying from seeing their reflections. By the time we finished eating, she had caught up and was ready to help. Freya checked the message line and recorded the people who needed to be called back. The number was astoundingly low compared to the volume we were having to talk to before sending them to voicemail.
I think we should leave the voicemail up and just return calls, Freya suggested. It seems to have done the trick for convincing most people not to cancel without us having to explain it over and over again.
Perfect, I replied. Now we can get down to finding more out about that ship. Maybe if we know where it came from, we will have some clue what we are dealing with, or how many people were on board originally at least.
I'll hook my computer up to the projected in the presentation room, Freya said. It's how I show clients film of destinations they are considering when booking.
We moved to the presentation room and only had to wait a couple of minutes to get the images from Freya's computer up on the screen. Veda was running the keyboard and immediately started typing in keywords to search on the internet.
Lost cruise liner, missing cruise liner, unmarked cruise liner, she whispered to herself as she typed.
Why are we assuming it is lost? Delaney asked innocently.
We all looked at her, unsure how to answer such a simple question. I rubbed my chin for a moment before I answered. I assumed it was missing because there aren't any visible markings to identify it, and it doesn't look too kept up.
Right, but that doesn't mean it's missing. Maybe it was just retired. Private owners can buy retired ships, can't they? Delaney asked Freya.
I'm not sure. That makes a lot of sense, though, Delaney. Good job, she replied, impressed.
Veda typed in keywords to get information on the sale of retired cruise liners. After 30 minutes of scouring the internet, we still hadn't found anything that matched the description or looked like the ship floating in our harbor.
This is getting ridiculous, Veda grumbled.
What? I asked her.
That ship is obviously from the pre-internet era. You'd think with technology evolving the way it does, that someone would have figured out a way to scan or upload information from then so it wasn't so hidden. There's no way there is just zero information on that ship.
Veda crossed her arms and pouted.
Well, maybe a trip to a library would help, Sophie suggested.
Not one here, Freya laughed. All our library has is news, local legends, and more scientific papers than you can shake a stick at.
How about we skip the reading and searching and go find out what that ship is about ourselves? I commented. Irving is waiting for Hazmat, so nobody is really going to be watching it too closely. We could sneak on, identify the ship, and get back off before anyone noticed us.
It's a little risky, Veda replied. Not to be a downer, but there is a reason they are waiting for Hazmat. Nobody knows what the smell is that is coming off that boat.
The rest of us stared at Veda, trying to hold in smiles.
What?
She asked, looking from one to the other of us.
We'll just let you think about that statement for a while, Freya said nicely. Let us know when you get it.
We continued to stare at Veda. Soon, her eyes glassed over a little as she fell deep in thought. Suddenly, her head snapped up, and she hopped out of her seat.
I can make suits to protect us. It would be some simple modifications to some diving equipment. The plan is all in my mind. It wouldn't take me long either.
There she is, Sophie called out, laughing. We knew she'd show up sooner or later.
Veda smiled at our confidence in her ability to design anything we needed. She did, however, sometimes forget her own brilliance.
Great, I said. Veda, what do you need us to do?
We only have a few hours before sunset. We should wait at least an hour before that to sneak out. It will be pitch black by then, but the harbor won't be silent yet. That bodes well in case we need to make any noise getting on the ship.
That is plenty of time, Veda said. Stephen, take me to the dive shop, and I'll get started. Then everyone can meet me there shortly before dark, so I can make sure your suits fit right.
Sounds like a plan,
Delaney said, clapping her hands together happily.
It was indeed nice to have a plan of action in place.
The most frustrating part of the entire case was the lack of any attainable information. Between the autopsies taking so long and the hazmat team taking their sweet time, it felt like we were treading water in our investigation,
even though we had theories to flush out. I looked at Sophie.
Are you coming onto the ship?
Sophie obviously couldn't join if she shifted back to her canine form, and I didn't know if she had planned to do so. I never questioned when she wanted to shift. She had her reasons. She shrugged slightly.
I'll go this time.
Perfect, I replied. Time to get Veda to her secret laboratory, I joked. Veda and I walked out, laughter echoing out of the room behind us.
You really are a genius, you know that?
She looked at me out of the side of her eye and grinned.
Of course I do.